You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 10 May. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Pierre-Cly Radenhurst, looking at the week ahead, particularly the dollar index, which seems to be giving us some weakness, which should play into commodities, perhaps gold, perhaps ZAR as well. Combined Motor Holdings, I'm looking interested in the supply challenges and also the rental market. And then Gareth Elston, Reitway Global, they have a offshore property ETF coming to market in a couple of weeks. Our poll results, we're talking about agricultural stocks on Friday, and we asked if you had seen that surge in agri stocks and prices and perhaps benefited from it. We asked on our Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter profiles. More than half of you missed it. A quarter of you simply don't like cyclicals, and I hear you on that. Cyclicals are rough things to try and trade with. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Can Steinhoff be trusted? Great article from Anne Crotty. The key point is the market has memories. I mean, we can argue that it's different people and different boards and different companies, but market has memory, and burn the market once takes a long time before it trusts again. And then from Bloomberg News, iron ore turns very, very hot. Prices jumped 10% literally in minutes in Asia trade this morning. Morning markets green across the board. S&P up 0.7 and NASDAQ 0.9 on Friday. This morning in Asia, Sydney up 0.9, Tokyo up 0.8. Commodities green, gold 1,832. Rand 1406 against dollar. Top 40 looking to open about 0.1% higher, 70 points.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Pierre-Cly Radenhurst. He is founder of Herenia Capital Advisors. Pierre-Cly, morning. Appreciate your time. You put out your Sunday note, as you do every Sunday. You're talking, one of the charts you were looking at, the U.S. dollar index. I suppose first, for some of us, help us understand what this index is. And if it's looking bearish, which is what your call is, you're saying that's going to actually be quite supportive of commodities and ultimately the rand as well.
Good morning. So yes, the dollar index, or the US dollar index, basically what it is a weighted basket of, other currencies versus the dollar. So it's the dollar versus a basket of, the euro, the pound, the rand is in there as well. So a number of different external countries or, different countries with different currencies are all being sort of measured against just one being the dollar, right? Mm. So with the dollar index weakening, that means that the dollar is, in fact, sort of losing ground against other countries, which generally is quite supportive of, if you look historically at correlations and that sort of thing, is quite supportive of commodities. So as the dollar gets weaker, we see, a number of different things. We see, most countries generally want their currency to be, but depending on their, trade situation, there's generally a sweet spot for them to have a currency for their exporters to make money, but their importers not to pay too much. So what we've seen in the past is that when the dollar sort of weakens versus other currencies, that the commodity prices generally tend to rally, as well as equity markets tend to rally as well, and of course, emerging market currencies too. So as long as we've got a weakening dollar situation, generally markets are headed higher, particularly commodities. Of late, we've seen, the dollar weakening quite a bit for a number of reasons. One, they keep printing more of them, I suppose, is a good reason, right? And that has been driving the dollar index lower and lower. And now we see the dollar index sitting just above the 90 level at the moment. And it spent a little bit of time below the 90 mark a few months back, subsequently bounced quite hard. But it looks to be testing that 90 level once more, and is going to try and press below it or beneath it a second time. We'll see, the second time within the last sort of year and a bit. So we'll see, exactly how this plays out. For the most part, this is generally a risk-on sign. It seems as though You know, it's like sort of a measure of the overall temperature of the market. And right now it's going up, right? As long as if dollar index gets sort of below 90, commodities keep running, equities keep running, man, markets are looking strong.
No, markets are looking bullish.
How sustainable it is, I guess we can debate.
Yeah, yeah. We'll worry about that in time. But I mean, commodities across the board. I spoke with you, was it a month ago maybe? And back then gold was about 1760. You called it for what? 1848. We're a half a hop, skip and a jump away from that. I mean, this bull market in gold almost, I mean, certainly across commodities, we're seeing it. And that trend on gold is having been bearish since what, August or so, is starting to look a little bullish.
Yeah, so we're almost there. I mean, we'll see what happens when we get to 1840, 1850, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think above that, we are in the territory where we are sort of back into a primary bullish trend on gold. I mean, that's also been driven by a number of different things. One, dollar index, obviously, is one of the drivers. Major driver there is, of course, hedge against inflation. You know, the Fed and other central banks, let's not just blame America, mm-hmm. Have printed an enormous amount of money, and there's only really a few places you can hide from the effects of that, right? And precious metals is one of them. And, you know, it's not just gold, hey? Palladium is also trading at record highs. That's at like $3,000 an ounce. You mentioned iron ore in the interim, which is the industrial metal, right? Yeah. And that's been going up like 10% a day for a while. So it seems as though commodities are the place to be right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're across the board. Copper, I mean, name a commodity, except perhaps oil, not so much. But otherwise, they're running. Petri Raden has founder Herenia Capital. The bulls are running this market for now, and we are enjoying it as it lasts.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Jeb McIntosh, CEO, Combined Motor Holdings. They had some numbers out last week to year-end February. Year-end February basically says it all. I think in April last year, there were literally 20 cars a day being sold. Revenue of 23%, Hepsoft 9.6%. Jeb, appreciate your early morning time. My senses, I mean, what must have been by a measurable long way the toughest year that you and your team have ever experienced, actually ended, I mean, I don't want to say ended well, but ended perhaps not as bad as maybe we thought in those really dark, hard lockdowns of April, May last year when vehicle sales almost ground to a halt.
Morning, Simon. You're 100% right. We were actually delighted with the second half performance, which is our best ever. And it worked out a lot better. And even our car hire division, which was the hardest hit, had a good second half and nearly got back the losses they made in the first half.
So are you as a group, I mean, are you sort of operating at pre-pandemic levels yet, or are you sort of a little bit to go before we are sort of the previous year?
No, the total market, which we tie in with, is running at about 15% on the new car side, about 15% below. And that looks likely to continue for some while because of chip shortages, logistics shortages, et cetera, mm-hmm. besides the economy. But we managed to improve margins slightly with stock shortages, mm-hmm. and that's made a difference and focus on the balance of the business.
You mentioned but, that. Sorry, Karen.
No, but so we made a lot of operational changes, cut costs, improved productivity. And those have come through during the second 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, it's fairly glaringly obvious. And I mean, and we can see it in the cash flow statement. You mentioned margins mm-hmm. there. That's coming through. The chip shortage, I mean, this is a global phenomenon. And we think about our cell phones and our computers. But of course, cars these days have a lot of chips. How much is that hurting, that supply challenges? And is there, I mean, a light at the end of the tunnel? Is this something that might be gone by June? Or is it another 6 months or maybe even a year before it sort of shakes out?
Look, Simon, honestly, we don't know. As you said, it's a global phenomenon, mm-hmm. and apparently chip factories are very complicated and take mm-hmm. time to build. So most people are forecasting approximately a six-month salt shortage going out to 12 months. But honestly, from what I understand, no one really knows what the situation is at this moment in time.
Yeah, and as you point out, I mean, the chip factories, fabrication plants being built all over the world, but they're not going to arrive for a couple of years. Are people, I mean, if I then, I'm looking for a car and perhaps there's a shortage, are we seeing people shopping down perhaps into pre-used vehicle or even maybe within the brand? They want a certain brand, but they can't get quite what they want. So perhaps also to save a bit of cash, sort of shop down a step.
Yeah, yes, I think you've seen that, and you are seeing a move into pre-owned. Mm-hmm. But the pre-owned stock is also short, Simon, because a lot of the pre-owned stock comes from trade-ins on the new vehicle sales. So if they're down, the number of cars coming into the marketplace are down as well.
Gotcha.
So it's quite a challenge from that point of view, and a lot of focus is going on into acquiring used car stock now, because we're not trading enough cars to keep our showrooms going.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I suppose so. I mean, you know, when I get another car, my car goes back into that system. You mentioned the rental market, obviously massively hard hit. How's that in terms of sort of, you know, the business there? Is that, I mean, we're hearing from the airlines, things are picking up, but still a way to go. And the rental market, I imagine, tracking that to a degree.
Well, the rental fleets, the figures we've got, is down about 50% on what it was.
Wow,
so that's and we've managed to pick up some market share, and we're trading at about 70% of what we were pre-COVID. And it is picking up. Local tourism has definitely picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But the overseas tourism is virtually nil.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, the overseas tourists still not here at all. 70%, yeah, that seems a bit better than I perhaps would have thought. Jeb McIntosh, CEO, Combined Motor Holdings, appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gareth Elston. He's CIO at Reitway Global. Gareth, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. You're bringing a new offshore property ETF to market. You're working with Absa New Funds. I suppose, in a sense, they're doing all the market making and the like, and where Reitway Global steps in is very much on that actual construction of the underlying index the ETF will track.
Yes, good morning, Simon. So it's a partnership between ourselves and APSA and also GPR, who are an index-focused company that's based in the Netherlands, who we've worked with over many years. So we will all be working together, but the index construction really is a process between ourselves and GPR that we've been working on for several years now.
And tell me about this index. I mean, is it passive? And then, you know, how many stocks, how many markets is it looking at?
So it will be, the aim of it is to beat the performance of the broader GPR indices, and to do so with less holdings. So it will generally be around 20 holdings that we'll have within the ETF, and it is a mechanistic calculated index that is rebalanced every quarter. But the aim is really that we would get an outperformance versus, you know, the large indices you have, that would be anywhere from, you know, 200 to 400 stocks, depending on the type of index you're competing in. So we're trying to be more efficient and also outperform.
Okay, I geographic, I mean, I imagine, you know, as per most global indices, U.S. dominated, but then picking up some perhaps from Europe, from Asia, from other parts of the world as well.
Indeed, so it will be broadly globally based, always with a skew to the U.S. just because of the dominance that the market has. But, you know, again, it depends on what the model's parameters are coming out with every time we're doing the rebalancing. But it's always highly likely that just because of the scale and scope of the U.S., it will probably dominate. But it is a broad global index, which is, you know, what we like and which we believe is attractive to investors.
And global, the REIT market, I mean, we look at, you know, I think as South Africans, our REIT market is dominated by retail, by office, by industrial / commercial. When we step global, it's a different world. I mean, there is, you know, you've got towers, you've got data centers. It is a fundamentally different market to what we see in South Africa. And it's actually having a, you know, what, the first 4 months of the year, I was checking on your Twitter account, almost 13% up in US dollars. It's different and performing fairly well.
It is, yes. So, you know, we look at about 25 sectors and subsectors in the global REIT market. So it's very broad and very deep compared to, you know, what investors typically have access to here. And then the everything that you've had, you know, as you mentioned, and even one of the kind of stranger, more unsung ones that's performed extremely well over the past few months would be timber REITs, for example.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, we have a speciality in as well. So it really does offer investors a far broader exposure. And it's often one of the things we struggle with. South African investors really are get sort of focused on the negativity around such a small market with so few sectors here. Mm. And you know, have to do a lot of education on, you know, if you're looking at a global sense, it's a far, far broader, deeper and market.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going down that rabbit hole, and it's actually mind-boggling in terms of the sectors and the like. You mentioned the rebalancing. Distributions, will it be paying dividends and frequency of it? Or I suppose in a sense it's income because they REITs.
Yes, so it's not going to, you know, the distributions aren't going to be a focus of the ETF. It's going to be more focused around a blend of growth and distributions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it will, you know, you'll see how it plays through as we go forward.
Okay. Listing on JSE 25 May. You actually, and just a quick aside, you're also going to be listing this into New York in time perhaps as well.
Yes, so the aim is obviously to replicate this in other markets.
Mm-hmm.
and look for the growth there. And we do believe there should be some interest as we move forward on it. But we have the proof of concept that we've been running over the past few years, but we want to get it better down, get the performance in all the different stream models and then real world performance. But we are very confident that we will get that, and in time we will look at expense.
And total expense ratio, have you got an indication of a tier that you are targeting?
Yeah, so it's the aim also is, you know, we will have all those final details on launch.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously with having a far smaller pool of funds that go into it, and sort of around the 20 level, it does bring your costs down quite considerably as well. So when you're looking at that lower cost basis and improved performance, it will be very competitive within the market.
We'll leave it there. Listing date, 25 May. Code on JSE will be new PRP, NEWPRP. Gareth Elston, Reitway Global CIO, appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings number 4. We'll invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. The poll we are asking today across the different social medias, LinkedIn, MoneyWeb, and Twitter. As I was chatting with Gareth there, property offshore, very, very different to local property. This new property global ETF coming, is it something that interests you? Like the idea? Perhaps not so sure, but certainly I think it's worth having a look. But let us know on our Twitter, on our Facebook, and on our LinkedIn profiles your view of a global property ETF. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 on the website, the app, and of course wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, Matapelo, and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.